Ron Nicewinner's writing and producing career has taken him through the major shifts in the film and television industry, from independent films to breakthrough Hollywood dramas, award-winning television movies, and most recently, a hit cable series. In his conversation, which will be part of the Woodstock Film Festival on Saturday, October 18th at 2 o'clock, Nicewinner will be talking to Us Weekly editor Bradley Jacobs about long and short stories, from Philadelphia to Ray Donovan, writing and producing films and series in television's second golden age. They will discuss the attraction of series television for writers, the pleasures and challenges of telling a story over several years rather than 2 hours, and how the relationships between writers and directors differ in TV versus film. It is a great pleasure to welcome Ron Nicewinner to the roundtable this morning. Ron, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, Joe.
You're going to be talking about these long and short stories and writing and producing films, and of course, what you're doing now, which is television. Do you feel like you found your niche? Like this is a fun way of telling a story?
You know, Joe, when I moved from the Hudson Valley to Los Angeles about 2.5 years ago, and I said when I moved out there to my managers, they said, you know, what's your goal? And I said, get me out of my house. get me into a room with other people. And I think that that's what's one of the great things that television provides, is that it's a community of people, and we create something together. And feature films do that as well, but it's a feature film writer spends a lot of time alone. A television writer spends almost no time alone, you know, and it's been quite a change, and one I really enjoy.
And also, you have more time to tell the story. It is, you have a season to tell a story as opposed to 2 hours.
It's exactly, you know, and to really think about, at some points you're thinking about, and what about next year, and what about next year? So that's, you sort of get to live with these people for a much longer time. I sometimes joke when I talk about the difference between writing a screenplay and writing for television, is that, you know, I now start a screenplay, you know, I'm in the first draft, and, I'm thinking like, oh, great, I'm finally got the story started, and I look up, I'm on page 80, you know, which means I only have like 40 more pages I'm allowed to write, and it starts to feel too short. You know, you're trying to put too much into those 120 pages, and, you know, on TV, you know, we say, okay, we didn't get to this in episode 7, we'll get to it in episode 8 or 9. That's really one of the pluses of it.
So Ray Donovan, you've been working on for 2 seasons, and
yeah,
now comes another series, Freeheld.
Well, that's a feature.
That's a feature.
Yeah. At the moment, I am sort of perfectly qualified to have this this conversation I'm going to have at the Woodstock Film Festival about working in both television and film, because I am at the moment literally working in both television and film. So I have a feature film going down to start shooting in a couple of days now. And it's independent, but it's got great Hollywood stars in it, like Julianne Moore and Ellen Page and Steve Carell and Michael Shannon. So that's a great cast. So that's about to happen. I have those two things going at the same time. So it's I'm a little bit scattered at the moment, but it's all great.
So do you consider one the day job?
Oh, no. Never, ever, ever been like that at all.
Because one is more stable. You know, one will be there. The other one will come and go, as we were talking about a moment ago, and the other one will be there.
Well, I mean, television shows don't always last, you know, to the next season. And
right,
so that's, you don't know if it's going to be there. Actually, I'm not going to go back for the season 3 of Ray Donovan. I have something that I'm developing for FX that I want to focus on. And Showtime has graciously accepted that I'm going to take a season away from Ray Donovan. So, when I think of day job, I think of something you do just to sort of pay the rent. So, and you're saving yourself for something you love. And that is certainly not the case. You know, for me, I can't get up in the morning. I don't care what I'm writing. I don't care if it's a television show, it's a feature film. I got to get out of the bed to do something that I care about. which is a very privileged thing, you know, to have a job that you care about. And a lot of people aren't privileged to have that, but I do. And I live a kind of modest lifestyle, and so I can be picky. And so if people offer me something to write that would be a day job kind of thing, I could just say no. So I wait for the things to come along. That's why what I choose to work on. You know, either it's in my head and something I'm obsessing over and I create it, you know, from scratch, or if it's offered to me, brought to me, I got to think. So, you know, when it's 5 a.m. and my iPhone alarm goes off, do I want to get out of bed in the dark, in the cold? Well, actually, now I live in L.A., so it's not so cold. And, you know, and work on this for the next 10 hours, you know, whether I'm working in an office with people or working alone. And that's I've been really lucky. This feature is something that Ellen Page brought to me 5 years ago. It's taken us 5 years to get it together. And then Ray Donovan came to me almost the moment I moved to LA 2.5 years ago. So I've been, I've been a creature of very good fortune in the last couple of years.
When you had this great success with Philadelphia, then how do you map out a career after that of deciding, okay, what is going to be next and how am I going to approach the offers that come my way?
Well, you know, I didn't map it out very well, which is part of this. I realized I kind of wasted a few years by not mapping it out. I got distracted by some other things in my personal life immediately after Philadelphia, and just didn't do my best work or my best thinking for about 5 years afterwards, but those days are behind me. And so I think, you know, again, it always goes back to me, for me, is there a story? Am I engaged? You know, we all, it's very simple. It's simple in the sense for me now because I've honed this instinct. And actually when I teach, I do workshops sometimes about story and what stories, that not all stories are equal. And, you know, I don't think that every story that somebody might have in their head is worthy of being turned into a movie or a television show. So I think one of the things I do, I have that instinct. And so I just, you know, when things cross my path or presented to me, you know, I wait for that thing that happens inside where I just get, that story gets in my head. So I, you know, whether I'm taking a shower or going for a run or something, those people are talking, they're talking inside my head. And I start thinking, oh, okay, you know, this is for me. So it's not planning so much as sort of, for me, honing and nurturing this instinct I have to do the things I'm well at. And interestingly enough, for me, I have discovered that I love the material that Ray Donovan, which is not what I'm known for. I'm known for Philadelphia. I'm known for The Painted Veil, which is a lovely romantic movie.
Right.
Free Held is another, I would hope it's another movie like Philadelphia, in that it's a social justice drama based on a true story. That's what I'm known for, and, you know, when, you know, everybody gets, that's what they call me about. But when I go home at night, what I read are books about serial killers. So in Ray Donovan, I finally got to exercise, you know, that part of me that really likes people who live kind of brutal lives that are not full of redemption. You know, they're not redeeming characters. And that's the thing that I'm developing right now for FX. It's further along in those lines. And that's, I think, what I finally discovered, you know, over the years of many years. I think I've been writing for a living now for 32 years, I think. And so I finally figured out what I do really well. And in my movies, now I'm saying, like, you know, I looked at, you know, I've written many movies, but I have four of them that I consider a success. And in all four of them, somebody dies, and not pleasantly. And so when I try to write the comedies or the other things, they either don't get made or they get made and they fail. And I've realized, so my rule now is that people, like, don't pitch me, unless somebody dies rather unpleasantly, it's not going to work. You know, so that's what I'm aiming for now.
So that's your rule of thumb.
It's my rule of thumb. It's sort of this discovery of sort of what I do well, you know, and figuring out, finally, it took me a long time to figure out, I don't write every story well. It's not, you know, that's, it's like, you know, the myth of the actor, you know, Dustin Hoffman and Tootsie, they're, you know, in an audition, they say we were looking for somebody taller, and he says, "I can be tall." You know, I know, I finally took me a long time to figure out what I write well, and it's it tends to be sort of dark and emotional, and not plot driven and not light.
So let's expand upon that just for a moment, which is that when you look at Ray Donovan and this second golden age of television, as it's being called, it seems that that's what we as an audience seem to like, too.
Oh, it's just it's so clear. It's just so, you know, in feature films now, still, you know, they're all the pressure is from the people who are concerned about their investment is how to make the characters nice. That's what, you know, they just want those scenes where can we just show, like, you know, they take food to their neighbor who's, you know, old and disabled. Like, really? I have to write that scene? You know, it's how can we make, oh, they're too impatient there, you know, all that stuff. And Cable, it's like they're not sick enough. Like, you know, can they be more flawed? I mean, that's what people, executives ask. They'll reject the script and say, you know, they're just too normal, you know. And so it's almost like we have to be careful, I think, in cable TV, because it's starting to become almost like a cliche, like how screwed up can your characters be. But it is really, it's been a pleasure for 2 years, a joy, actually, to write characters, a family of characters, the Donovan family, who are really rather screwed up, and some of them are possibly sociopathic.
Right.
And to write them and not, you know, sit with executives who say, like, oh, they're not nice. You know, they're like, yeah, they're not nice. Great, we love it. You know, and there is more. And here's the thing, Joe, and this is probably a lot of what my talk will be about. In television, the writer is in charge. And I know a lot of directors out there are gritting their teeth right now. But you know that whole auteur theory?
Right.
I'm kind of questioning it. You know? And we have great directors on Ray Donovan. You know, we had the cream of the crop. You know, there's a select group of directors who work on the premium cable shows, and they're wonderful and brilliant. And you know, I've been really, really blessed on my episodes particularly. We've worked to the greatest. But it's a collaboration. It's a full partnership and between the writer and the director of each episode. And the writer, who's also the producer, has the final word. Because in the end, we know these people better than the director because we've lived with them longer and we're going to live with them after the director moves on to, you know, another show. So that's been eye-opening for me, you know, because in the feature film world, and I'm very well respected and I'm treated very well, I'm still basically a servant. And I didn't say employee, I said servant.
Servant, right.
I mean it, you know, because I'll have, in every film, I'll get every person with a little bit of authority, and that would be the main cast, all of the producers, the financiers, the director, all of them will, and all the executives or whatever studio, will submit pages and pages and pages of notes. And I have the right to argue with them, but I don't have the right to flat out say no.
Mm.
And it's a little different in television. You know, the writer has more, so I shouldn't say power, because it's not about power, because both film and television are collaborative, and your success comes from how well you collaborate. So it's not about power. It's not about walking on the set and saying, this is the way it's going to be. You know, that's not what it's like. It's about having authority and people saying, oh, yeah, you're the writer. Of course, like, you probably know what this character is thinking better than I do. And I, you know, I've been on feature films that I've worked on, like, you know, I've worked on, and I'm not the one that I'm shooting right now, thank God, because people are really, really great and very collaborative and respectful. But I have had experiences where, you know, I've worked on a script for years, and then somebody comes along, and this is, actually doesn't apply to, I don't think any of the ones I've had produced, but the ones that haven't been produced, probably for a reason, And they just, I have no authority. They just tell me what to do with it, how to change it, and how to completely change the characters in the story. And they don't even ask, do you think this is a good idea?
Mm.
So that's why, you know, writers are flocking and lining up to get jobs in television. It's a completely different experience.
And talk a little bit about the relationship that you have with the actors, because one of the things that is so wonderful about Ray Donovan is you just have a hell of a cast.
Oh, my gosh. I you know, we have a great cast. And they're all so different. And one of the things I love about my boss, Ann Bitterman, who created and was the showrunner for Ray Donovan, you know, she and I are we're close to the same age. I think I'm a little younger than Ann. But, you know, we love the 70s. And so, you know, we've got John Voight and Elliot Gould and James Woods. We love the 70s. And, you know, I'm sitting there, my colleagues and I are sitting there one day with Elliot Gould and John Voight, you know, just talking about, you know, Hitchcock and Robert Altman. And I'm thinking, this is like some weird dream come true. It's amazing. And they're really good. And what would you like to know about how we work with them?
Well, obviously they're a huge part of the equation, but when you were talking about not exactly power, but when you have sway, you're writing for these strong characters and it's up to these actors to pull them off.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. And not knowing, I tell you what's really, I think, challenging for them and in some ways unfair to them. And it's quite a tribute to television acting is that, you know, they're sometimes acting, not sometimes, always, you know, they're acting episode 7. They have no idea what they're going to be doing in episode 8. You know, so they don't know where they're going. And to tell you the truth, often we don't know. You know, at that point, we don't know where they're going because we haven't quite figured it out yet. You know, at a certain point, the train catches up to you. You can only prepare so many episodes in advance. And then once you go into production, the train catches up. And you're sort of shooting and writing and editing all at once. So that's the great thing, that they have to sort of have authority in their scenes in an episode, in a season, not knowing where they're going to end up at the end of the season. And lots on our show, one of the things that was kind of sad for the actors, but it's somewhat kind of amusing. It was that, people from week to week, nobody ever knew who was going to die. So you'd see an actor on the set, and you know, I'd say to somebody like, "Oh, we have some great stuff for you in episode 8," and they go, "Oh, I'm not dying, am I?"
Yeah.
You know, and whoops. Yeah, you know, and so, and then we'd have these table reads. You know, they'd read the script, and they'd like, you know, they're going along, and then they'd read their own tests. It was kind of like sad. We'd all go, "Aw, sorry." But, you know, it's really kind of high wire acting in a way, because you can't figure it all out. And you have to trust that the process, that the writers are going to save you. They're going to save your character in some way. They're going to take you somewhere. And they have to trust. And it's really, I think it's really hard. It's a hard job.
You know, you're talking about love in the 70s, and you just painted that picture of John Voight, Elliot Gould, James Woods, all three of those men. Were the greatest talk show guests ever. when they would go on Carson or on Mike Douglas or Merv, oh my God, were they good.
Well, you know, John and I, John, I he calls me Ronnie and I call him Johnny. And I once said, like, I can't believe I'm calling John Boyd Johnny. And, you know, we don't talk about politics because we both sense that our political views are rather different.
Maybe different, sure.
Maybe a little different.
Yeah.
But I tell you, he walks on the set, and John Boyd, as crazy as his character Mickey Donovan is in the show, you know, John is not that at all. And John comes to set every day, and just his job is to, he is so filled with joy to have this part to play at this point in his life. The joy emanates, you know, from him as he does this. It's really quite, quite, it's a real gift to everybody.
Well, you will be speaking to Bradley Jacobs on the 18th of October. It's a Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Kleiner James Art Center as part of the Woodstock Film Festival. It is entitled Long and Short Stories, A Conversation with Ron Niswonner. And you can find out more by going to woodstockfilmfestival.com, woodstockfilmfestival.com, on Saturday, October 18th at 2 o'clock. Ron, thanks very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure, and have a blast in Woodstock.
Thank you, Joe. It's really been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Again, Ron Niswonner will be speaking to Bradley Jacobs in conversation in a panel, Long and Short Stories, as part of the Woodstock Film Festival, woodstockfilmfestival.com, woodstockfilmfestival.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.